Okay, good morning. Let's see. Do people hear me? Yeah, go ahead. Sound issues are there. All right, let's see. So what I wanted to do today was continue with looking at which properties are preserved by the various types of limits that we've been looking at and which properties are not. And so we've already had some examples of that. And the one that I want to finish with today is going to be the one that involves, it's the most complicated one, and it involves both the third type of convergence and also derivatives, which is what we've been looking at. And this example that I've been playing the animation of, we'll come back at the end. But in any case, let me return to the whiteboard. Okay, so right. Okay, so first of all, let me just remind you of the picture and what, how much we've done and what we're going to do next. So there were some properties which we're interested in about our functions. And then there were three types of limits that we were focusing on. One was pointwise. And then there were two norm limits. One was called uniform, which is the one we've been studying so far. And then the one that I want to focus on today is the C1. Norm convergence, which is basically uniform both for the function and for its derivative. And the three properties that we looked at were bounded, continuous. And since this is, of course, in differentiation, differentiability. Okay, and you should remind yourself of what good examples are where we have or we actually lose this one of these properties in taking some kind of limit. And what we found was that there are examples here where this fails. I'll do some example below f sub n, and where you had bounded functions, but you take a pointwise limit and it's not bounded anymore. And similarly, you could take a bunch of continuous functions, and we call them g sub n of x, and take the pointwise limit, and they stop being continuous. On the other hand, we showed in 9.13 that if you took a uniform limit of bounded functions, it remained bounded. And similarly, in right at the end of last Friday, if you take a uniform limit of continuous functions, it remains continuous. So this is what we had so far. And of course, the C1 norm is only better. So it's both a uniform and its derivatives are. So it's also true for this. On the other hand, not only do pointwise limits not preserve differentiability, not even uniform limits do. Okay, so sub n of x. All right, but what we're going to prove today is theorem 9.18. Actually, I'm going to prove half of it and leave half of it as a homework problem. And that says that, among other things, that differentiability is something that is preserved if you have this stronger convergence, this C1. But let me just remind you of the example so we recall what it is we're up against. Let's say f sub n of x. So again, I hope people remember what I'm looking for. So the goal here is to find a sequence of functions which should come from our standard list, which are pointwise convergent to something. And each term is bounded, but the limit is not. So that's our goal. So can you remember what some of those are? So again, these are going to be bounded. And then this is going to be not bounded. And again, what I want is that there's a pointwise convergence. But theorem 9.13 assures us that this cannot be uniform. right? If we have a uniform limit of bounded functions that would remain bounded. And so the typical example, actually, does anyone remember what my favorite example here was? The pointwise limit of bounded functions that stop being bounded in the limit.
Is it 1 over x plus 1 over n?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And these are in, let me just indicate where this is. So this is in functions from 0 to 1, say. Okay, and yes, that's exactly right. And the limit then is also in the same space, and it becomes a 1 on x, and 1 on x is unbounded from 1 to 0 to 1, whereas the functions we're approximating with are bounded. Okay, and then similarly for a g, I would like an example where the function is that we're approximating with are continuous, but the result after a pointwise limit is not. Right, so these are supposed to be continuous. And let me put this one from 0 to 1. And this example is one where this is not continuous. Okay, and again, I had a standard example that's good to keep in mind. People remember which one this is. Continuous functions, and then we get something that's not. They're the ones that get steeper and steeper. So the list that I gave, there are others, is x to the n. And so then that gave me 1 when x was 1 and 0 otherwise. Oops. Right, and then the last example that I wanted to give here was this H, just to remind you. So again, this is the one we're actually going to focus on today, because now I'm going to prove that if we have this stronger form of convergence, the C1 convergence, then if we take a sequence of differentiable functions, it remains differentiable. But we already found an example where uniform was not sufficient, right? So we had a uniformly convergent sequence of differentiable functions. The limit was not differentiable. Do you remember what that one was? H sub n of x. Oh, I'm sorry, up here, let me add, this is of course not uniform by theorem 9.16. But here we're gonna get uniform, but and this was 9.16, 9.13, and this is gonna be 9.18. So this is not in C1. Okay. And again, the property that I want here is that this one should be, each of the approximating functions should be differentiable. And this one's actually, the example I have in mind is an all over, but let me just put it from minus 1 to 1. And this is not differentiable, even though it's uniform, a uniform limit. Okay, and does anyone remember what function sequence I had that was, or another one, that is where the functions that we're approximating with are differentiable, but the limit is not? So the easiest non-differentiable function is something like the absolute value of x. We've got that corner. And the idea is that we can approximate that corner uniformly. Okay, so we do that. And that's the example I gave there lots is a square root of x squared plus 1 over n. Okay, so those are examples of what we had before. And so let me just start then with the theorem for today. It's kind of a long proof, so it's going to take much of the lecture. And I'm not even going to do all of it. So let me indicate which part I'm going to do and which part I'm going to leave as a homework problem. So the situation is that we have now a sequence of functions. And I want them to be differentiable because we're going to be looking for this C1 norm convergence. And remember, that means that both uniform and the derivative is uniform. So they have to have derivatives. So it'll be one-time differentiable functions in, say, the interval a, b. So that's the framework. Okay, and I want two things. So the first one, the most important one, the key thing is that the derivative converge uniformly. So not the original functions, but the derivative here. So that's the key, converge uniformly. And since it converges uniformly, it converges to something, and I might as well give it a name for convenience. So I will. So I'll call that g of x, okay, it's some function. And two, here with and okay, so I have with one and two, and it's kind of a small condition, and that's that at some point it converges, just at any one point. And the reason is that if you take the derivatives, you don't change the derivatives, you slide your function up and down. So I want to kind of anchor them, and so that's what this does. So two for some C in here, we have that just these numbers, f sub n at c, so that's just a sequence of numbers, converges. And of course, just as a reminder, that's as real numbers. Okay, so just at one point, I know it converges, so they get anchored. They can't slide up and down. That's the point. Okay, anyway, these are just hypotheses. Then, all right, and as I said, there are going to be two upshots. One of them is your homework problem, which I'm not going to do, and I'll leave that for you. And that says that a lot more is true of our function f. If the derivatives converge uniformly, at least one point is converging, then the whole thing converges, and the f's themselves converge uniformly. So that's a stronger statement. So fn converges uniformly. This does require, by the way, that we're in a bounded region here, so which you'll see in your proof. It would only be pointwise if we had an unbounded region. Okay, but it converges uniformly. And once again, just like up here, since it's converging, I can call the thing to which it's converging something. And so let me give it a name. Let me call it f. Okay, so that's the homework problem. And then what I'm going to do is not very surprising, but it's a bit of work to prove it. And that is that these two functions are related in the way that you would hope. So this f and g are related, and the g is just equal to the derivative of f. Okay, so that's what you would have hoped would be true, and in fact it is. So that's the, so f prime of x is equal to g of x. So that's what I'm going to prove. And so this is an unbounded depth. Actually, I'll just give the whole proof. So the proof is, as I have advertised, somewhat long. And so what I'm planning to do is to first list a bunch of facts that we know are true, and then I will, which sort of come out of nowhere, but we know them, and then I'm going to marshal them together into the computation that we need. Okay, so let me start by indicating what we need, and then add the facts, and then come back and prove it. So proof plan. So what we need is this statement here about this derivative. Okay, so what does that mean? So that says that for every point, so every point P in AB, okay, and every epsilon greater than zero, we have that our difference quotient is approaching the right thing. Okay, so so that means that there is some delta. And so whenever we have the difference between x and p less than delta, we have that our is close to g. Okay, so I hope it's clear that that's what is needed. All right, so now, as I mentioned, we're going to use a bunch of ancillary facts. So let me start with some ancillary facts. So useful facts. And I'm going to list four of them. So the first one, one, since the F prime converged uniformly to the function G, that tells us that for every epsilon greater than zero, there exists some n, okay, and that n can depend on epsilon, so that whenever I have two numbers, n and m, which are at least this capital N, and any point C in AB, then we have two things. And so one thing is that we're close to G. So that says that if I take a F prime sub N and subtract at C, and actually let me call this P instead of C, I apologize, P. And then subtract G at P, that differs by at most epsilon. Actually, I'm going to do a little better. I'm going to say epsilon over 5. And again, that's just a hint as to where we're headed, because that's how I'm going to use it. And then the other thing is, since our function is, since our sequence is converging uniformly, we know that it's uniformly Cauchy. So we can also write that, and you might have guessed that from the fact that I had an N and an M here, the difference between F sub N prime at P and F sub M prime at P is also small. And again, I can take that to be epsilon over 5 if I wish. Okay, so I hope that's at least clear that that's true, right? So everyone's happy with that. All right, and so as I advertised, there are four facts. So the second fact that I want to use is that since, well, according to your homework problem, the Fs actually converge uniformly, the Fns actually converge uniformly to F, but I'm just going to use the fact that it converges pointwise, which is weaker, right? So that's all I'm going to assume. So since Fn converges to F uniformly, we have that Fn converges to F pointwise. Okay, so since it converges pointwise, we know that for every epsilon in every point, epsilon greater than zero, and point P, actually, I'm going to give myself 2 points. Okay, I can do that. So I'm going to give myself 2 points, X and P. Then there exists some M, depending on the epsilon and my 2 points. So that whenever I take N and M, let me take one thing, M bigger than M, epsilon px, we have let me say that I have these two facts. So one is that the difference between fm at x at p and fn at p f at p is bounded, and again I can take it to be epsilon over 5, but actually I can do better. I can take it to be any number I like, and in particular I can take epsilon over 5 times the absolute value of t minus x. Okay, my machine, one of my machines is freezing. Let me just check. Let's see, do people still hear me? Okay. Okay, sorry about that. Let's see, am I audible now? Thank you. All right, sorry about that. Hopefully my other machine will come back sometime, but okay, I can also hear you now, so I have to switch back and forth now to see the chat, but if you speak, though, I can hear you. All right, and so let me see. So where was I when I got lost from your sound? So let's see, just summarizing where we were. So I use the fact that we have this Fn prime converging uniformly to G to give us this capital N depending on epsilon, so that the Fn prime and G were close. And not only that, if it's converging uniformly, then it's uniformly Cauchy. So Fn prime and Fm prime are also close. So that was the first thing. Two, oh, you can't see the board. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I apologize. The recording is based on a different machine. Let's see here. Yeah, okay, if the other machine comes back, then I can continue the recording. But in any case, for now, I can at least share this with you.